Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Today we're going to be talking about a lot of things, but we're going to mainly be talking about the frame of marriage, the mindset of marriage, the way that we think about marriage.
And we've entitled this series, I Did, because it's one thing to say I do at an altar, but how many of you know it's another thing to live out that in your life? And so it's kind of that moment of where it's not just saying I do, but I did make that commitment. I did say those vows. I did intend to live this out. And so how do we handle that phase of life? Once we leave the wedding and all the rose petals have fallen and everybody has given their gifts and it's been such a wonderful moment, but now we are living out those vows and we're living out those commitments. And so we're going to be sharing on these things. And if you have your Bibles, you can go to John 13. If you don't have your Bible, no problem. We'll have all the verses on the screen right behind us. But we want to just read a passage out of John chapter 13. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, starting in verse 12, and this is what it says. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, Jesus speaking about washing the disciples' feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You will be blessed if you do them. As Destiny said today, we're really going to build the framework that talk about that mindset, but we're going to be getting into more of the details of marriage as we continue on. And actually, there may be some questions that you have. And so we have created an avenue in week four of this series. We're going to be answering your questions. And so today, say, man, I've got a question that I've been wanting to ask on marriage. You can go back to the back right there at the Connect table afterwards, fill out that question and turn it in, or you can message us on social media, whether Facebook, direct message, or on Instagram, and ask your question, because at the end of February, we're going to be answering all of the questions that come in throughout this series.
And you know, we've done question and answers about relationships before, and they are always the most listened to podcasts that we ever put up, because we all have a lot of questions. I can remember one time Philip and I had a group of newlyweds in our house, because there were so many people who were getting married all at the same time that we had to have group marriage premarital counseling. It was just, we're just going to have to do this as a group. And it was funny, when you'd open it up for questions, people were hesitant to ask questions. But then somebody would raise their hand and ask a question, and everyone else in the room would go, that's my question too.
Yeah, that's right.
And so sometimes we can feel like the struggles that we are going through, whether it's in our marriage or in our life, are unique to us. But when we just open up and we don't suffer in silence, we find out that there's a lot of people who are going through the same thing we are.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we want to do in building the framework is we want to talk about marriage through the lens of our mission statement. Here at North Point, you know, we have a mission and we like to say it together. Come on, let's say it together. Creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. That is the mission of this house. And so we're going to be building a framework for marriage coming through that mission statement. We're going to be walking through each of those words as we go today and saying, how can your marriage reflect creating? How does it reflect Christ-centered? How does it reflect culture-changing? And how does it reflect community?
Because we have to take our goal into our marriage. Mm-hmm. Our marriage is not for the purpose of just making us happy. And that's really, really important for us to understand that. Because if the goal is making us happy, it never, one, will be fulfilled. Because we can't make ourselves happy. Happy is a situational and a circumstantial feeling. Yeah. And marriage goes through many situations and circumstances. Philip and I have been married for 13 years, and we dated for 7 years before that. We've known each other our entire lives. We were looking at it yesterday. We've done 8 moves. We've lived in 4 states and 3 countries in 13 years. He's gone through 4 career changes. I've gone through 4 career changes. That's a lot of change. But the one thing that has been constant is the basis of our relationship is built on mission. It's built on mission. So let's talk about creating. Creating is hard work.
Yeah, creating is hard work. You know, we have a mission statement. We have a house habit here that says we grow intentionally, that nothing grows accidentally. We grow intentionally. And so many times when people come into marriage, they think that marriage is just going to happen. And they don't realize that, no, you have to create the marriage that you want. And it is hard work. And Destiny says so many times that marriage is a whole lot more like a garden than it is a sculpture. Because whenever the artist finishes the sculpture, come on, it's done. Whether he spent a day on it or a week on it, it's done. But that's not true with a garden. A garden has to be constantly worked and taken care of and cultivated. And it's the same way in marriage. And here's the great thing about this is because you can be sitting in here today and you've just got married and you're just beginning this adventure. You could be sitting in here today and you've been 10 years in and your marriage is pretty solid. You're pretty satisfied with where you are and what's happening and everything. You could be sitting here and be 15, 20 years into marriage. And to be honest, you're just like, my marriage is not what I thought it was going to be. I don't really think it's everything that God wants it to be. Here's what's so cool about a garden is that if you don't like what the garden is growing, you can plant different seeds. So it doesn't matter what your marriage has looked like up until now, you can plant different seeds. If you have had a okay marriage, you can plant new seeds and get a good marriage. Yes. If you've had a good marriage, you can plant new seeds and get a great marriage. If you've had a bad marriage, you can still plant new seeds. And it's amazing, when you plant new seeds, you're going to get a new crop and you're going to get a brand new harvest. And here's the thing is that, but nothing changes because I would like it to. Nothing changes just because I want it to. The only way that it changes is when I do the work to plant the new seeds that are going to give me a new crop in my life. And so we all have to take the responsibility to say, I have a responsibility to create the marriage that I want. And now here's what I would tell you. Say, yeah, but I've got a spouse and my spouse doesn't believe in God, or I've got a spouse and they don't really want everything that I want. That does not determine what you do in your relationship. That does not determine the seeds that you plant in your relationship. You can still plant the seeds and take responsibility for creating what you can create instead of just blaming them on what you can't do. You can say, no, I can still plant the seeds in this marriage to give me a crop that I want, but it is not going to happen if we do not do the hard work of actually creating.
And it is hard work, but what are we creating? And we're creating Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. We're creating Christ-centered. The rules of Christianity apply to our marriages. Yeah. The rules of Christianity apply to our marriages. John 13, 34 through 35, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Wow. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Yeah. Philip and I were talking about this, in preparation for speaking, and we were just talking about how there's so many directives in the Bible about how we're supposed to treat each other. It says, love your enemies. If you ever felt like your spouse was your enemy, you're still supposed to love them, according to the Bible, right? It says that you're supposed to do good to those who didn't do good to you. It says that you're supposed to be kind. It says that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It says that we're supposed to lay our lives down for each other. The Bible has so many things to say about the way that we treat other people, but somehow when we come to the altar and we get married, we start to exclude our spouse from being other people. And we can treat the person who is closest to us worse than we would treat a stranger on the street. You know, my mother's scripture when we were growing up was, the law of kindness will be in her mouth. You know, when you have six kids under the age of 12, now we have seven children, but six kids under the age of 12, you want the law of kindness to be in your mouth. You want the law of kindness to be in their mouth. But that's about being Christ-centered. When I got married, my mother told me this. She said, your marriage will have more to do with how much you love Jesus than how much you love Philip. The way you treat him will have more to do with you and Jesus than you and Philip. Because the question will always be, will you honor what the Word says about the way that you're to treat your God's child? God has given you this precious gift of His child to live with and to learn with and grow with. How are you going to treat His child? Because that's what all of us are first.
Yes.
We're God's children first.
Yes.
Before that person was your husband, that woman was your wife. They are God's child. And so when we live Christ-centered, our focus isn't on what the other person is giving me. It's what does Christ demand of me in this situation?
Wow.
Now, you probably have figured this out. I don't do passive-aggressive. I do aggressive-aggressive, okay? Like, if you want to fight, let's go. Let's go right now. Like, let's just get it all out on the open. I mean, like, hey, you don't have to ask me what's wrong, okay? I will tell you what's wrong. You didn't even ask. Well, that's very, very true in our marriage. And I can remember one time we had just gone at it, and I was mad. I was real mad. I was probably wrong. I don't remember. He might have been wrong. I don't know. But I was mad. And I did that thing where you just end the conversation, you know, I'm just going to bed. I'm just going to bed. And so I went back in my room. I went to my bathroom and I was getting dressed. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me so clearly. You go back out there right now and you apologize to him for the way you treated him right now. Can I tell you, in that moment, that wasn't about Philip. That was about whether I was going to obey God.
Wow.
And if you want to create Christ-centered, you're going to have to determine whether your husband has to earn you treating him the way that Jesus told you to treat him.
Come on.
Or whether it's just an obedience issue with you.
Wow.
Now, I just want to stop right here. We are not a safe place for people to abuse their families. And nothing that is ever said from this stage should be used as an excuse to stay in an abusive relationship.
Yeah, that's right.
You
that's
come
right.
and see us. We have resources for you. You can get out.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
I'm talking to all of us
yes.
who sometimes forget that it's about being Christ-centered. Mm. See, marriage, and I'm going to let you talk in a second. See, marriage is a temporary state. We are not born married.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of us will not die married. Our spouse may die before us. Something else may take them out. And if we build our life on the foundation of another person, even our spouse, hear me, that is a shaky foundation. That is a shaky foundation. But if you build your life on the rock, then it doesn't matter what the storms of life bring. You have a firm foundation.
You know, and I think that that's why you have to create Christ-centered. If you remember when Jesus was telling that parable,
yeah.
And he was telling the story of the person who built their house on the firm foundation, on that rock, and when the storm came, it didn't budge. It was not shaken. But there was another one that built their house with no foundation or built their house on the sand, and when the storm came, it was completely destroyed, and the house collapsed. You see, you have to create the life that is built on that foundation. It is not just going to happen because you come to church once a month. It is not going to happen just because you believe in Jesus. It's not going to happen just because you read a daily devotional. No, you have to create a life that is totally Christ-centered. You can't just add Jesus into the corner of your life and think that you're going to have a Christ-centered marriage. No, everything in your life has to be built upon the foundation of His truth and His word and your obedience to that scripture. And so when you build a life like that, I love what Jesus says. He says, when the storm comes.
Come on.
He doesn't say the storm might come. And here's what you can be guaranteed in your marriage. The storm is coming in your marriage.
Yes.
The storm is coming.
Yes.
It's only a matter of time. And then after that storm comes, there's another one on the way. It's coming. The storms are coming. And if you have built your life on the foundation and you say, well, man, how, you know, what are the consequences? You know, how do you really know? Well, here's the thing. If whenever you encounter a situation, okay, whether Destiny was just talking about a disagreement, argument, something comes up, it's in the situations where you really find out if you got the right foundations. And this is why you have to create that foundation, because the situation is coming.
Oh, that's good.
The argument is coming. The disappointment is coming. Okay, it is going to be there. But whenever you have built your life on the right foundation, whenever the situation comes, it is not going to move you, because I'm not built upon trusting you. I'm built on trusting God. Everything is not about you making me happy, because I have the joy of the Lord that has produced the strength in me. And my roots have gone down into Christ. My roots aren't down into, I'm not pulling resources out of you. I'm not pulling joy and strength out of you. I'm pulling it out of Christ. And because my roots are in Christ and my foundation is laid in Him, when that situation comes, I will not be shaken and I will not be moved, because I have decided to create a Christ-centered life. Hear what I said first, a Christ-centered life. Because it has to be a Christ-centered life before it can be a Christ-centered marriage. My life must be built on Christ. What Destiny was just describing was, she was saying, my life had been built on Christ. So if the Holy Spirit could whisper to me in a moment and say, I'm asking you to obey me right now. And whenever you have two people that are built on the foundation of Christ, the roots growing down into Him, that was what will allow us to, together as a couple, have a Christ-centered marriage.
Now, my mom, whenever she was getting married to my dad, she was older than a lot of her friends, and she had watched her friends go through really, really difficult things in their marriage. And she just asked God. She said, I need a word to stand on for this marriage. And God spoke to her and said, the moment that you start looking to Him for what you should be getting from me is the moment things will stop going right. And I think that just goes back to what you said, is that you have to create Christ-centered.
You know, there's another thing that we always talk about, too, is that part of creating is that we believe in counseling. We believe in marriage counseling, and sometimes you have to be proactive in your creating. Many of you, if you've been around here, you know Des and I, we went through all of our premarital counseling, and we got so much benefit out of it that we said, man, why would we stop after these four or six sessions, whatever that we had leading up? We said, why would we stop? And we went for the whole first year of our marriage, we went every single month, and then have continued on regularly since then of going to marriage counseling. Because why? Because we're trying to be intentional. We grow intentionally. And you don't just go to marriage counseling when things are falling apart. You go to marriage counseling to realize, how do I build a stronger marriage? How can I do it better God's way? What are some things that I can do to strengthen this marriage? And so whenever you begin to take the initiative and you get intentional, counseling can be a very important tool that God can use in your life and in your marriage, the way that he has used it in ours to help us be intentional about creating that Christ-centered.
And I think one of the reasons why, you know, you bought so heavily into marriage counseling just right from the beginning, mm-hmm. because, you know, just from what I have seen, men tend to be a little bit more resistant to counseling. Mm-hmm. But you were just right there. It's because I think from the background of athletics, you understood the value of a coach.
Yeah.
And really, I wish it was called marriage coaching.
That's right. That's right.
Instead of marriage counseling.
Yeah.
Because, you know, counseling gives you this indication that something, but the best of the best, the elite athletes, the ones that are going to be in the Super Bowl, believe me, they have a lot of coaches, right, in their life. And if you want to have a great marriage, you're going to have some great coaches on your team helping you to get better and to become what you want to be. So I think that may have been one of the reasons why it was easier for you just right from the beginning to say, this is the way we're going to live our life. We're going to live our life with coaches.
Yeah, well, you know, after we went for those first few times, what I just began to see the value, even apart from the marriage, I started seeing the value for myself. I was learning things about myself. Things were being revealed about me. And through that revelation, I was going, wow, there are some things in me that Jesus still needs to do. There are some things in me that Jesus needs to perfect. There are some things that need to move out of my life, things I need to get into my life. And it was just so valuable, that information, just for me as a Christian, as a follower of Christ. And I saw the value of that, and I just said, man, I'm not going to stop. And so I think you do have a great point. It is more like a coach.
It is. It's like coaching. All right, so culture changing, creating Christ-centered culture changing. The reason we say culture changing is because we don't want to be culture acceptors. Mm. We want to be culture changers, right? And then when you're coming into marriage, you really have three different directions that culture is being, you know, fed into you. One is your culture of origin. And this is the culture that you just grew up with. This is maybe the way that your family communicated. Maybe it's the way that your parents communicated. Maybe it's the way that you saw your grandparents communicate. Maybe it's the disappointments of your aunts and your uncles. Whatever you came out of, the way that you talked, the way you valued, mm-hmm. how things were done in your place of origin, so your culture of origin. And then you have your community culture. And that's the community of people that you do life with. Maybe it's the people you work with. Maybe it's the people you go to church with. That's why we say it's so important to be planted in a local church, because that community culture is going to affect you. It's going to affect the way that you view your spouse, the way that you view your kids, the way you view marriage. So your community culture. And then you have social culture. These are the things that you see on TV. These are the things that you see, you know, hear on the radio, what you read in the newspaper. And this is the one where you really can control this. So you really can control this. And we talk about this a lot. It's important for you to monitor your cultural inputs.
Yes.
Now, this is not a censorship talk, okay? This is about choosing what is going to help you to be the best you possibly can be.
Yes.
All right? If you are having a hard time in your marriage, I suggest that you not watch all the Lifetime movies all day long. Because I can remember being 18 years old, and for some reason I watched Lifetime a lot, and I was like, all men are just horrible. They're just all horrible, horrible people. Because I swear that every single one of those movies is about that, you know? But what is it? Are you watching or listening to things that objectify women? If you want to respect your spouse, you need to pay attention to the inputs that are coming in your life. We are not culture acceptors. Philip and I come from two very different family cultures. Mm-hmm. They're both Christian, okay? Mm-hmm. But they're different. Mm-hmm. I grew up with eight people, and at one point, we only had one shower, okay? Like, sharing is, like, really easy for me, okay? I can't remember. I loved college because I only had one roommate, all right? No one was asking to actually sleep in the bed with me. I thought it was amazing. Philip had his own room and his own bathroom from the time he was born. You know? I mean, he didn't have to share anything. They don't even share food. I mean, hey, can I try that? No. The answer is no. Don't try to take her fries. No. In my family, we ate family style even where the restaurant didn't serve family style, okay? We come from radically different family cultures. And the tendency is to do this, is to let your family cultures become a tug of war where you're the victim and you're in the middle.
Wow.
Instead of stepping back and saying, what do we want? Mm. And treating it like a grocery store and saying, this is really what I want to bring from this. What do you think about this? Does this fit with our values? Is this what? Okay, let's put this in our house. Oh, that, you know what? I don't think that fits. Let's put that over there. We still value that. That was a great part of my childhood. That was really nice, but that's not coming into our house. Culture changing, not culture accepting.
Yeah, you know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 20, the Bible says in verse 25 that Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. So he's basically talking about this is the way of the world. This is the culture of the world, that the rulers, they lord it over them with their high officials, exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Come on, say, not so with you.
Not so.
Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what Jesus was telling his disciples here is that there is a culture that exists in the world, and that culture is, what can I get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
What's in it for me? How is this going to serve me? And Jesus says, that's not going to be your culture. You're actually going to reverse that around, and it's not about what you can get, it's about what you can give. It's not what's in it for you, it's what's in it for the world. And so Jesus here is very clearly establishing the way of the world, but here's the thing, is that you're going to live countercultural. You are going to live in such a way that you change the culture, and you are going to be culture changers, because you are going to serve, and you are going to love, and you are going to give, while the rest of the world is trying to take and trying to get theirs and trying to make it work out good for them. Jesus says, no, that's not the way that we are going to live. And can I tell you that one of the keys to marriage is found right here in this scripture. This is the way of the world. What's in it for me? You want to create a Christ-centered, culture-changing marriage, you've got to change what culture is saying and say, not what can I get out of this, but what can I give in this? Not what is in it for me, but what can I do to make the other person know that I am serving them with all of my heart, that I am giving to them the very best of me in this situation? And that's where we begin to see culture changing really come into our marriage.
Absolutely, absolutely. Culture changing community. Culture changing community. You know, we're not substituting community for, or marriage for community there. Mm. We are called in our marriages to create Christ-centered, culture-changing community. Mm. See, it's not just Philip and I. It's not just Philip and me and our three kids. It's not just our four and no more. That's not the way that it works in the kingdom of God. We are called to something bigger together.
Yes.
We're called to create community. You know, the Bible says this. It says that God takes solitary lives and plants them into families. He plants them into families. And that's such a powerful scripture for so many reasons. Because every one of us is in truth solitary lives until God plants us into families. And he does it all throughout our lives, through birth, and then later on when we grow up, into a friend structure, into a marriage perhaps, into a work setting, into a church. We are planted into these communities. And it's our calling to create community. Because it's our calling to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples and to baptize people and to see the kingdom of God advance, what we call in shorthand creating community. And you know, if your point is just to make a great marriage, your marriage will never be what God intended it to be. Wow. But this is the other secret. You'll never have the happiness and joy and fulfillment of a marriage that's lived on mission, that's lived on mission to see others come to Christ, that's lived with the perspective of, you know what, I better love you well, because the scripture we read at the very beginning said that by this, all men will know that we're really Jesus followers, the way that we love each other. So many times we can think that our witness is just what we don't do, what we don't participate in, the parties we don't go to, the circles we don't participate in. That's not the way that Jesus even lived, but that certainly is not our witness. Our witness is the way that we treat each other. Our witness is the way that we choose to love each other. And what's amazing about creating community is that when you create community, community will keep you.
Yes. Yes.
In those moments where you feel incredibly weak, when you've created a community of other people that you're loving and that you're caring for and that you're bringing along the journey with you,
yes.
You don't have to be perfect to bring people along the journey with you. Just keep walking and say, come on. Come with me. I'm following Jesus. I think you want to too. Come on. Let's just, you don't know yet. It's fine. Just see. Just start and we'll just see where it goes. Just come. Let's go along the journey together. When you're walking on a journey with other people, when you want to give up, when you want to stop, when you just want to skip out, it's a lot harder.
Yes.
It's a lot harder. It creates this beautiful thing. And so when we talk about creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community, don't neglect the last part. I think it's key to having a healthy marriage.
You know, and one of our mentors, shared with us years ago, you know, that whenever you serve God in His mission will then serve you. Because he said, there's no way, he had been in full-time ministry for over 40 years, and he said, there's no way that I could hurt all the thousands and thousands of people that have been impacted by my ministry because I made one bad decision. The mission was serving him in the journey because he was saying, this is the mission I'm on. Now I'm living my life on mission, and I'm not going to jeopardize the mission because of a disagreement. I'm not going to jeopardize the mission because of temptation. I'm not going to jeopardize the mission because it's not everything that I want it to be right now in the season, and it's getting tough and it's getting difficult, and I don't feel like we're really connecting, and things are a little bit crazy and a little bit out of control right now. I'm not going to jeopardize. But you see, if you're not living on mission, the mission cannot serve you in that moment. But when you're living a life on mission to make Jesus famous, when you're living a life on mission to get His gospel out there to the world, when you are living your life on that mission will begin to serve you in those moments. And it will keep you on track, and it will keep you moving in the right direction. But if you haven't created that in your life, if you haven't established that in your life, living on mission, if you haven't created it, it's not going to be there to serve you. And so all of these things have to be created. Christ-centered, it has to be created. Culture-changing, it has to be created. It's not just going to happen. You have to decide. We're not living like the world. We're not going to operate. We're not going to think like they think. We're not going to live with their perspective, because we have something completely different here within the kingdom. Jesus has a different way of living. He has a different way of serving. He has a different way of speaking to one another. He has a different way of forgiving. He has a different way of not holding grudges. He has a different way of moving forward. Jesus has a different culture. And so because of that, I've got to create that culture in my life. And community's not just going to happen, because because I can go sit in my house and just me and my wife and wonder, I wonder why we're having trouble. No, no, no. I've got to create community. I got to bring people along. I'm walking that mission. I bring other people along the mission so that we can walk this mission together, so that we can have accountability, so that we can have encouragement, so that we can have everything that we need. But it all comes down to the word create. I've got to be willing to create it. Do the hard work of creating. And if you'll do the hard work of creating these things in your marriage, Christ-centered, that foundation that you create, it'll serve you well. You create a culture-changing environment, that culture-changing will serve you well. You create community, you do the hard work of building that community, that mission into your life, then that community and that mission, it will serve you well. But it starts with each and every one of us creating these things in our life.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.